Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gridiron Chefs with your host, James Greenwood.
Look, guys, the comparison between between Jamarcus Russell and Cam Newton are completely baseless. Cam Newton has 10 times the work ethic and is 10 times more athletic than Jamarcus Russell will ever be.
And Tyrone Powell.
So, all in all, if you're going to compare him to Brady, you're going to compare him to Manning, those two are arguably automatic going into the Hall of Fame. But come on, man, this guy has done work from 99 to about 2008, 2009, before he got shipped out.
Here on SportsCityChef.com.
Good afternoon, Sports City. It's that time again for the Gridiron Chefs. I am your host, James, the Gridiron Chef Greenwood, and with me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Mr. TP Timeless. TP, how are you doing today?
Doing all right, man. Hope everybody's ready, man, after a couple of great shows throughout the week. Getting some good news from a couple of chefs here in Sports City, so I'm liking what's going on. I'm pretty inspired, man, and ready to see what's next. So I'm feeling pretty good, man, and calling number 917-889-9592. James, you got to turn your volume up or something. You're a little low.
All right. I'll work on that. Here as well, I believe this is Chandler Knight, also in the building. Chandler, man, how's it going, man?
It's going good. How's everything going?
Oh, you know, not too bad. It's another day here in the city. We'll start this week just like we start every week here at Gridiron Chefs, talking about Thursday night's game. And I've got to admit, I'm surprised at what we saw from the game this week. Not saying that the game wasn't close. It was a really tough, hard-fought-out battle. Went straight to the end, I think, but at the end of the day, I thought this was going to be it for Peyton Manning. I thought this was the season where everything would start to fall apart for him. We saw the end of last season, and how he didn't really kind of flash like Peyton Manning normally does. Then he went into this season with a lackluster performance to start the year. You know, I thought this was reading the beginning of the end for the Broncos in the Peyton Manning era, but came in this week full head of steam against a very respectable defense and played extremely well. So, Ty, what were your thoughts on Thursday's game?
I actually think that we actually spoke about this a couple of days in a row here in Sports City, but the interesting thing about it is Peyton Manning has not come out sharp in the past two games, at least in the first half in this game up against the Chiefs. He finally woke up and became himself and started moving the ball and looking like Peyton Manning more or less from Indianapolis, where it was real hard to stop him, Marvin Harrison and Dallas Clark with the short yardage plays, and now he has a situation with Daniels and Emmanuel Sanders and company. These guys are getting it done, and there were several different third down plays that the Chiefs couldn't figure out how to stop the connection between Peyton and Sanders. But I give the Chiefs credit, because usually you see these guys wilt or not have their full 60 minutes of play involved. They actually came as best as they possibly could toward the game. And unfortunately, the situation happened at the end of the game with Jamaal Charles, let the ball go. But it was definitely a good game plan offensively for the Chiefs to try to do as much as they could to be effective offensively. And like I said, we spoke about it. And, Jamaal Charles, especially with the claim that he put forth early before the season began, I mean, now he has big shoes to fill, and he actually put the loss on his shoulders. I mean, I don't really want to say rightfully so or point fingers, but, I mean, what else could you point to other than that fumble and the score right behind it while, you know, that happened. That was the first play of that drive that they tried to initially get a score in. So I'm not too thrilled or impressed, to say the least bit, about Denver and the Chiefs. I think they could have done much better, especially defensively, to get some stops on the Chiefs on third down.
Chandler, what was your thoughts on Thursday night's game?
I thought I saw exactly what I thought I would see, which is Peyton Manning is still struggling in Gary Kubiak's offense. I don't know why people want to keep talking about Peyton Manning's old. He's in a different offense. He's not running his offense, so he's not going to look good because he's never run that offense. And Kubiak is a guy that you're going to run his offense, so you're not going to play. And he didn't look good. And in the second half, they let Peyton Manning run Peyton Manning's offense, and he looked like Peyton Manning again. But I'm not surprised that Jamal Charles put the ball on the ground because, you know, according to him, he's LeBron James. Everybody forgets he claimed he was LeBron James of the NFL. So I guess like LeBron James, he fell short at the end. He has a habit of putting the ball on the ground at big moments. He did it again. I don't have a problem with Andy Reid's play calling, because if you know anything about Andy Reid, he was going to call some sort of running play there because Alex Smith doesn't throw the ball down the field. It's not who Alex Smith is, not who he's going to be. But for the people who want to keep talking about he had thrown past the wide receiver, you can keep talking about it. It's not going to happen. Unless that wide receiver is on part of his check down list, he's not going to throw to the wide receiver. So it was the right play. They just had a guy who puts the ball on the ground, so I really wasn't surprised by the ending of this game.
All right. With that said, I guess time to move on to the next topic. I guess week one is in the books. Some things were surprising, some things weren't. Chandler, I'm going to go right back to you on this. Did week one change your mind about anything?
No. It proved to me that Kirk Cousins is just as terrible in that offense as Robert Griffin, because his numbers were pedestrian. He could only lead his team to 10 points. And last I checked, Robert Griffin wasn't leading his team to about more than 10 points. So for all of you people who run up to him, Kirk Cousins is better than Robert Griffin. Yeah, I don't think so. But, no, there's nothing that surprised me about this weekend. I saw Ryan Fitzpatrick be Ryan Fitzpatrick, the guy who's going to throw a bad interception, the guy who's going to lose a game for your team, if not for Brandon Marshall. The only game that really surprised me was the Detroit game. And, listen, at this point, as far as I'm concerned, Jim Caldwell and Lovie Smith should both be fired right now because I don't know what the hell they're doing with their offenses and their defense. Well, with Lovie Smith is the defense and the offense, with Jim Caldwell is the offense. And, you know, but, yeah, I mean, I guess those only two, I guess, surprises would be, you know, the fact that Jim Caldwell didn't feel the need to throw to Calvin Johnson, and Lovie Smith decided that he didn't want to actually rush a rookie quarterback.
All right, Ty, what about you? Anything from week one change your mind, maybe from some of your predictions in week one? Or not week one, but in preseason?
I don't think a week would get people to change their perspective on things. The only thing that I'm concerned about with Tampa Bay, I thought that he would actually have a better season. Well, I can't even put the season on the line with Jameis Winston. I just think that that's his first game out of the gate, and we've seen two different perspectives for the rookie quarterbacks. One with Mariota coming off very well and having a four touchdown output, and then putting up 42 points, and Jameis just looking pretty erratic. His first pass was a pick six and stuff like that, but I still feel like he's going to take his lumps. He has his big receivers on the outside. They didn't even enforce Doug Martin to get some carries, and I had a fantasy, so I was pretty mad about that. But like Chandler said, I mean, they sat Calvin out all of the preseason and brought him in to play a full 60 minutes of play, and he didn't get any, you know, targets like that. He had one early, and he had one in the fourth quarter as well in the drive where they scored the touchdown as well. I'm just questioning what's going on with Lombardi and the offense as well, but it's so be it this situation. Everybody's going to take their lumps, and I feel like it'll probably be a different output in, you know, week two, week three, throughout all of the teams throughout the NFL. But some teams are going to lose, some teams are going to win, and I don't think anything should change by 1 week of play.
I mean, for me, there were a few things that kind of stood out to me. the one thing that surprised me a little bit more than I guess it maybe should have, I don't know, Bill taking out the Colts in such convincing fashion, I mean, to me, that's pretty huge. Because, I mean, we all knew that the defense of the Buffalo Bills was good, but Tyrod Taylor, I'm kind of surprised that to hear anybody say, you know, that they had Tyrod Taylor pegged as being able to perform this well in week one. Now, of course, I don't think this changes my mind when it comes to the division. I don't think it changes my mind for anything deep because, once again, it is only 1 week, but eyes are open to Tyrod Taylor. And if he can be, you know, half as good as he was in week one for the rest of the season, the Bills are going to be hard to beat. Another one that was, I mean, I wasn't so hot on the Seahawks, but dropping one to the Rams early, week one, I thought that was a big surprise. And I was, you know, I was kind of fighting preseason on trying to get those Rams somewhere in the playoffs. And dropping one to a division rival is, you know, is pretty big. So that's something else you have to keep your eye on. And you know what? Here's one more thing. Marcus Mariota, once again. Yo. Go ahead.
I'm not buying too much of that Seahawks situation. Here goes the Seahawks once again on a critical down, fourth and one. They're in shotgun. Same formation that they had in the Super Bowl. And instead of them throwing the slant in the same exact setup, they run the ball with Marshawn with no lead blocker. Of course they know they're going to go to Marshawn. Everybody's feeding to the middle of the line because this is what everybody thought they should have done, and they stuffed them. Like I don't know what Seattle was thinking right there, and to be a shotgun at least, I'd rather them go to Marshawn, but give them a lead blocker to pick up one of those dudes and see what they could do because they could not block Tyler Donald at all. Like he was going crazy in the middle of the line, and I'm just shaking my head at what Seattle's doing up front or the offensive call that they're putting together. It took them to the second half to get to Jimmy Graham as well. There's just question marks there. I don't question mark the Seattle Seahawks in general, even though I question their general management on what they're going to do with Cam Chancellor. But that's a whole other issue right now. I think definitely that they're set up for that shotgun set. Everybody in St. Louis knew where they were going for a short yardage situation, and they got what they asked for to be stuffed at the line of scrimmage with Marshawn alone. I mean, that's extremely questionable.
Yeah, but if you look at this division, the other two big teams in this division, the Cardinals and the Rams, well, let's throw away San Francisco for the moment, but Cardinals and Rams each got stronger as the years have progressed. I don't think that this is the lead that that Seattle is, you know, really enjoyed the past few years. And you know, you could say the same thing about the East as well, and the Patriots don't hold that that strong holding in their division like they once had as well. But I think that there's a possibility that Seattle drops a couple of games that, you know, they might have not done in years past. And if that happens, that opens the door for the Cardinals or the Rams and or the Rams to make that jump. But, of course, we have to see what the Rams do in the future. But, you know, they didn't look bad in week one against a division opponent and a really good team. That's just my thoughts. Chandler, anything to add to this?
Well, I'm not surprised because I remember telling you that Seattle wasn't going to be good. I remember saying that.
You did?
So,
oh, yeah.
I did. And because you have to, you see, for whatever reason, people tend to want to act like because what somebody did in the past, and they don't look at what people are actually doing. They don't have Cam Chancellor. That is a big deal. That is a big deal for them on defense. It is a big deal. The way last season ended is a big deal. There is a lack of trust in that locker room towards Pete Carroll. There is a lack of trust.
add in the Camp Chancellor thing is Camp Chancellor was the guy who went around and did all of Pete Carroll's dirty work. Pete Carroll is always a positive guy. He let players go around and do his dirty work, telling guys when they're not doing things right and all of that. He doesn't have that anymore. So now you have a team that's kind of looking at their coach side eyes while they're out there trying to play. It's not going to work. Add in the fact that, as I said, with Jimmy Graham, they were going to have to try to pass more, and Russell Wilson is not yet built for that. They're not going to win games with Russell Wilson passing over 30 times a game. They're just not. That's not how they're wired. So I'm not surprised at all that Seattle is looking vulnerable, and I don't think they're going to win their next game either. I think Seattle's starting off 0-2.
We'll definitely get into that as we go into week two. And you know what? I'm not sure I disagree with you, Chandler. I mean, to be honest, but we'll definitely be getting into all these games as we get into the back half of the show. There's only one more thing to talk about when it comes to the things that have gone on since the last show, and that is we see two new starting quarterbacks. Ryan Mallett now officially starting over Brian Hoyer for the Houston Texans, and Johnny Manziel is going to get the start against Tennessee. I mean, we could also talk about Marcus Mariota, but we'll probably have to save that. But TP, your thoughts on the move, yanking the starting quarterback right after week one?
And this is in reference to which you're talking about, Manziel, correct?
They spent
It's not even a yank. McCown's not cleared to play. That's not a yank. It's more or less because he got that concussion. One thing, and I know Chandler loved it if he did see it live, McCown did it twice in the same drive, getting helicopter spun, trying to jump over, you know, defenders to make things happen. He did it on the first part of the drive, the third down play, picked up the first down. He got spun helicopter run, out of bounds by, and he picked up the first down. And then it was a 3rd and 9 again situation for him, but he needed 9 yards to get to the end zone. He tried to force his way in there, and they got spun around in the air again and fumbled in the end zone, touchback, Jets get the ball. Johnny Manziel becoming the quarterback right now, I mean, this is the way the Cleveland Browns have to go. I think this is big for Cleveland because I know that's the quarterback they wanted to see. I know they didn't really intend on McCown running the show for their offense, so This is big, to say the least, for Cleveland right now. But it's another back-to-back situation of Heisman versus Heisman with Johnny Football going up against Marcus Mariota. I think this is pretty big on both sides of the spectrum. If Mariota could come out and play good football up against Cleveland's defense and to see if Johnny Football really is this guy to lead this ship and the reason why they picked him in the draft for him to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. This is where he gets to prove himself up against a team that's at the middle of the road. I don't want to call them mediocre because they went to Tampa Bay and punched the Buccaneers in their mouth. This is a game where Mariota and the Titans get to prove themselves in this matchup.
Chandler, Johnny Football, first start. What are your thoughts, man?
I don't care. I really don't. Because, you know what, too much is going to be made out of everything he does, so I don't care. You got idiots like Merrill Hodge running around talking about, oh, the guy's this and that and that. He's played literally 3 games. I don't even count the games last year, so he's played 1 game. Don't tell me that he's the same person as he was in college because he played 1 game. So I don't care. Let me see him play 3 or 4 games. He's getting the start because Josh McCown is concussed. And Ty, as soon as McCown is ready, Johnny Manziel is going back to the bench because Mike Pettine, keep this in mind, Mike Pettine doesn't like Johnny Manziel. Everybody keeps forgetting that. Pettine never wanted Manziel, so McCown is going to be the starter as soon as he's cleared. I'm more interested in the Texans thing because, you know, when we talked about these games and I said, you know, I said that Brian Hoyer was a bad fit in Houston, Everybody's, oh, what are you talking about? Brian Hoyer, look what he did in Cleveland. And blah, 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 blah. Brian Hoyer was the best fit for the Cleveland Browns, and the Cleveland Browns were the best fit for Brian Hoyer. That's where he should have stayed. That's who they should have signed as a quarterback. I'm not shocked at all that he got yanked. He should have been pulled earlier in that game, and they may have won that game. That's the saddest part. So Bill O'Brien, the fact that he made this move, it's not a panic move. Brian Hoyer really only had those four quarters to prove he deserved to be the starter. Okay, that's all he had, and he was terrible. So to me, the bigger issue is what's Ryan Mallett going to do? Is he going to give us what he gave us in the last 5 minutes of that fourth quarter, or is he going to do what he's always done and just basically tease everybody with his potential?
Yeah, and that's the other one I wanted to get into, Ryan Mallett getting the start this week as well for the Houston Texans over Brian Hoyer. And as Chandler said, not the greatest performance, but it's I don't know if it's not a panic move by Bill O'Brien. I mean, let's be honest. You did name the guy your starter, and you give him a week. I for some reason, that doesn't sit well with me. I know it was a tough competition all the way through, but once you name your starter, don't you have to stick with it for a couple of weeks? It was the decision you made. Ty, what do you think?
This is the crazy thing about that situation. How sluggish Hoyer looked up against the Chiefs defense. And the crazy part about it is how the Chiefs defense responded the next week and not being able to stop Peyton Manning in that offense on several third down occasions. So as soon as Mallett got into the offense, he was throwing lasers all across the field. So I think that's what impressed, you know, O'Brien and company down there in Houston. I feel like they feel he's more ready. And I think a lot of people have tagged Mallett to be the guy in front of Hoyer. I think Hoyer probably looked more impressive in training camp. And I guess they'd rather right the ship now before it gets through the first quarter of the season, because they still have hope within the division. I mean, the Colts lost their first game as well. So, a lot of things have to happen differently for Houston, especially while, sitting atop the division is the Tennessee Titans. So there's still hope there.
Fair enough. I think it's time to move on to the games for this week. And no better place to start than with the aforementioned Houston Texans going to Carolina to play the Panthers this week. There are some injuries for Houston. Arian Foster, chief among them, is out this week. Was made official earlier, either today or yesterday. Xavier Suafalo, starting offensive guard, also out for this week. Some major pieces there. Dwayne Brown, the left tackle, also listed as questionable, did not participate in practice on Friday. For the Panthers, Luke Kuechly is doubtful for the game. Major hit to that defense. Darrell Williams is out for this game. Star Lolo Tuwele, starting defensive tackles, questionable, limited participation in practice on Friday. And that's about it. Ty, I'll let you go first. How do you feel this one plays out?
This is actually a very interesting matchup. One to say the least about Houston, the way that they came out of the gate up against Kansas City and only being able to mount field goals all day long. We have to see this offense get started. This offense has to put points up on the board. They're going to have to get this run game started without Arian Foster as much as they want to. And the Carolina Panthers, I mean, them without Luke Kuechly, I mean, this is going to be big. I mean, a lot of people look at this defense more or less going to be led by Davis and see what he can do to help out while Kuechly is out. I think this is up in the air. I think Cam Newton's going to have his hands full trying to get away from J.J. and company up front. And you always see a stronghold of J.J. in the early portion of the game. I want to see if he can carry this out for the full duration of the four quarters and try to shut down Cam Newton and company as best as possible. So Oh man, I'm sitting on the fence with this one. I am gonna go with the Texans to try and get this upset going, because if they don't get this going, then there's gonna be a lot of question on what the Texans got going, and especially how their defense looks, and you know, with everything that's around Cam Newton without Kelvin Benjamin, a lot of people are waiting to see this offense try to, you know, get away from sputtering around and making things happen. So I think Cam Newton's going to have to prove that he can win this game. I think the Texans defense could actually keep this game within hand for Mallett to try and steal this one. So I'm going to go with the Texans on a slight upset, to say the most. And they're in Carolina, so this is an upset to me that they have to go on the road and get it done.
All right, Chandler, your thoughts on this game?
Oh, I mean, you have two terrible offenses going against each other and two overhyped defenses. I mean, you know, the Houston Texans defense is J.J. Watt and 10 other guys. You know, Brian Cushing, I'm sorry, when's the last time, you know, the next time Brian Cushing makes a big play, now that he's not on PED, somebody wake me up and tell me. You know, and Vince, Vince, I've been stumping for you all offseason, man, but, you know, lay off the cheeseburgers, you know, take off the farmer's overalls and actually put on some helmet and pads and show up, bro. You're 350 pounds. How can I not see you on the field? I'm just trying to find out how I miss seeing a 350-pound man on the field. So I'm going with Houston, but simply because Carolina's offense is worse than Houston's offense. You know, Houston actually has some playmakers on their offense, whereas Carolina, all they have is Cam Newton. They have no wide receivers. They have no running game because Jonathan Stewart is hurt yet again. They got rid of D'Angelo Williams, yet they kept the other half of the injured brothers. Why? I don't know, because you know Jonathan Stewart is going to miss at least 4 to 5 games every season. So why would you keep him if you got rid of D'Angelo? You should have got rid of both of them. So I'm going with Houston, but it's basically because they're the best of two bad choices.
I'm going to make this a clean sweep. I'm also going with Houston. And it's all for all the reasons that Chandler said. And also, the best player on that defense in Carolina is injured. Let's be honest. Best player on that defense is injured. And that's going to help the Houston Texans out when it comes to the running game, it's going to make up for the fact that Arian Foster is not going to be there. Quite frankly, I also think that we're going to see a little bit more out of Ryan Mallett. They're not going to throw it all in his lap, but we're going to see exactly what the kid can do. And I think that that's going to be a positive for Houston, because I think that people believe the game plan is going to be to hide the quarterback making his first start. Next game on the list. New England Patriots going to Buffalo to play the Bills. For New England, Dominic Easley is doubtful. Ryan Wendell is out for the Bills. Marquise Goodwin is out for this game. LeSean McCoy is questionable, limited participation in practice on Friday. Chandler, I'll let you go first on this one. How do you see this one working out?
I got Buffalo. I'm riding with Rex. You know, the Buffalo Bills have something. They have a great defense. I'd say that you could argue they have the best defense in the NFL. I'm talking all 11 players. I think they got the best unit in the NFL, period. I'd put the Jets a close second, but I think Buffalo is better because they don't have Antonio Cromartie biting on double moves every 2 seconds. And also now with Tyrod Taylor, as much as people just don't pay attention or they just don't want to give guys credit. This kid did everything he needed to do in preseason to win the job. It wasn't like they gave him the job. He won the job. He looked better than three-quarters of the quarterbacks that are starting in the NFL in the preseason. So, again, don't be surprised at what he's doing. You know, why are you surprised? I don't know. But I think that Rex finally has an offense. And keep in mind that LeSean McCoy did nothing in the first game. He did nothing in the first game. It was Percy Harvin and everybody else. They have too many weapons. They literally can just not use a guy for one game and then feature him the next game. Because I think this game is going to be all about LeSean McCoy. It's going to be all about LeSean McCoy. And don't forget, Marcell Dareus is back. oh, I'm riding with Buffalo all the way. This won't even be a close game.
All right. Ty, what are your thoughts on this one?
This is tough because Chandler just went with the pick. I was going to say kind of like an upset situation, even with the McCoy situation and the Goodwin being out. But I really feel like Buffalo can get this done. Reason being because I think that they have way more speed on their offensive side of the ball, and they're going to more or less have the Patriots defense guessing a lot. I mean, there's too many pieces missing for New England, even though I know Rex is trying to wake up Tom Brady and them talking junk, putting up billboards, so on and so forth. It's for some reason Rex knows how to figure out Tom Brady, especially when Brady's on the road up against him. So I'm not going to go against that mantra. I think that the Patriots go 1-1 right now, even though I respect Tom Brady, everything he brings to the game. But I respect the Bills a lot this season and what they were able to do and having balance, not only defensively, but their offense getting it done. And Tyrod Taylor bringing another element to the Buffalo Bills offense, being a quarterback that's mobile and making the defense stay honest. I'm going with Buffalo, so I guess this isn't an upset right now because at least it's 2-0 on the score right here in the kitchen.
Well, it's going to be 2-1. I'm going to be the odd man out. I'm going with the Pats. I think that they have something to prove. I don't think this is going to be easy. I think this is going to be a one-score game. Might even be a one-field goal game by the end of it, and it's going to come down to just a random kick. One way or the other, one bounce is going to make the difference in this game because as much as you have to respect what the Buffalo Bills have done or what they did against the Colts, it is still Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And, yeah, that is pretty much it. And that defense does need to prove a lot more to garner confidence back. But right now, that's where I have to go. I have to go with the duo of head coach and quarterback that's been winning and has been winning for years. I think there is – I think when you're looking deeper into the depth chart when it comes to wide receivers, I think there's matchups there that I think could potentially benefit New England. That's why I'm going – I think that the Patriots know that and they're going to go after that. I don't think the big names are going to do much outside of Gronkowski, but that's an element that they still have to account for. And that's an element that is tough to have an answer for. I'm going with New England. Next game on the docket is the Chargers going to Cincinnati to play the Bengals. Jacoby Jones is doubtful for the game. That's it, pretty much it as far as starters go for the Chargers. As far as the Bengals are concerned, Marcus Henderson is out. And George Aikola is also out, or is doubtful, I should say, for this game. I'll take this one first. I'm taking the Bengals. Don't get me wrong. I was rather surprised to see the Chargers beat Detroit last week. And you got to give McCoy a lot of credit because he does have that offense humming pretty well thus far. But I do think that Cincinnati has such an amazing run game, and I think their defense can play up to the task of taking down San Diego. I'm going with Cincinnati. Chandler, your thoughts?
I'm calling a tie because I don't like either one of these teams. I think they're going to tie. No, I don't know. I think both of these teams are terrible. But I think that, and I hate to do this. Lord knows I hate to do this. Ty going to get me for this, too. I'm going with the Chargers. I think that Melvin Gordon is the difference. I think Melvin Gordon is the difference, and I'm going with the Chargers.
All right, Ty, what about you?
I'm going with San Diego also, and here's why. We could just result back, I think, if I'm not mistaken, last season. No, was it last season or the season before that? The Chargers and the Bengals met up in the playoffs, and The Chargers had to go into Cincinnati and get the job done, and they got it done. So this is what they're faced with again. They have to go into Ohio and proceed on with the season, and I think Phillip Rivers has a chip on his shoulder. I think the San Diego Chargers could be successful, and I give the Lions a good amount of credit on doing what they could to try and slow down Gordon, even though Gordon was successful running the ball. But I think he'll have a couple of game breakers in this game. And once we see him second or third level, they're chasing him for a while. He's a good quality running back with top end speed. We haven't seen him break one yet, but I think this could happen up against the Bengals. I'm going with San Diego, excuse me.
All right, next game on the docket, Tennessee Titans going to Cleveland to play the Browns. Jason McCourty is doubtful for the game. Sammy Hill is out for the Tennessee Titans as well. As far as the Cleveland Browns are concerned, Josh McCown is out, as was mentioned before. Robert Turbin is out for this game as well. And that's just the and Dwayne Bowe is questionable with limited participation in practice on Friday. Same thing is true with Justin Gilbert and Carlos Dansby. I believe it is Ty. You are up first on this one. How do you feel this one works out?
If the Titans defense comes to play like they did up against Tampa Bay, I feel like they'll have a quality time to go up against Cleveland. But I feel like this is a big time waiting for Cleveland to, you know, be in an uproar for Johnny Football. I'm going to go with the Browns, and of course, you know, I'm being biased. I'm a Hurricane fan. I want to see Duke be successful. So I'm going with Cleveland and Johnny Football and Duke to try and get the job done. So, yeah, dog pound in the house.
All right, Chandler, your thoughts on this one?
Well, I think this week we're going to actually see Marcus Mariota actually face some defensive pressure. So we'll see how he responds, since Lovie Smith didn't feel the need to, you know, actually send anything about his defense near against a rookie quarterback. But I'm going with Cleveland. I think both rookie quarterbacks throw two interceptions. I think they both throw for around 200 yards. But I think that Cleveland, because Cleveland needs this game. Hold on a second.
Yeah. For me, I'm going the opposite way again. I'm going to go with Tennessee. And it's basically picking between two giant turds. I don't really like either team. It's going to be the team that's going to be able to run the ball a little bit better. I think that's going to be the difference. Maybe a good special teams moment might make a strong difference. Fumble bounces the right way. That's going to be, you know, I've said that twice already, but, you know, that's going to be this game is a little too close. I'm going with Tennessee because I think that ultimately they're better offensively, and I just don't trust Johnny Manziel to do anything other than throw three or four interceptions. So and you know what? As much as I didn't like Mariota pre-draft, thus far he's brought it. Yes, it was against Lovie Smith and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But at the end of the day, how can you complain with that production? I can't, so I'm going with Tennessee. We got you back, Chandler?
Yeah, I had a big truck going by. Basically, like I said, I believe that Cleveland has far more to lose in this game than Tennessee. Cleveland needs this game in the worst way. That's why I think they're going to win the game, because they're the desperate team. Well, right now, Tennessee's playing with house money. And I think you have a team that now that, oh, we got Mariota, everything is good. You're going to find that this is a team which hasn't won anything that doesn't know how to handle prosperity. So I'm going with Cleveland.
Fair enough. Next game on the docket is the Atlanta Falcons going to New Jersey to play the Giants. As far as Atlanta is concerned, Brooks Reed is out with a groin injury. So Devin Hester is out with a toe. And Micah Goodman is out with an elbow injury. As far as the Giants are concerned, Jonathan Beeson is doubtful for the game. Victor Cruz is out this week. And Marcus Kuhn is also out with a knee injury. And Odigizuga is also out this week as well. I think, Chandler, you're up first on this one. How do you feel this game works out?
Again, the two mediocre teams. Atlanta has no defense. The Giants have no offense. Odell Beckham is finding out what it feels like to be a number one receiver, and he's terrible right now. He's terrible. He was non-existent in that last game. So much as I hate to do it, once again, I got to go with a quarterback I don't like. I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, it's a quarterback you don't like or a quarterback you don't like. I mean, it's a hard choice. But for me, I'm going with the Giants. I think that Atlanta has proven year in, year out to be below their average selves on the road. And I think that's going to make the difference. Is if this was in Atlanta, I would take the Falcons every single time. But not this week, not against the Giants. I think the Giants win, and by a decent margin, I'll say 10 points or more in favor of the Giants. What about you, Ty?
I'm actually tired of this because I'm actually agreeing with Chandler a little too much. I need to shake this up somehow, some way, but I won't do it right now. I'm going with Atlanta, and here's why. If this was a game in the middle of October or November, I could see this being a benefit for the Giants. But, however, this is a game that's in September. It's warm. It's still summertime. I don't think weather would be a factor. I find it hard-pressed for the Giants to be able to defend Julio Jones. Julio actually opened it up a little bit up against Philadelphia secondary. I think he's getting his legs underneath him as well. I find this a tough task for the Giants to get this done. I think the Giants start out 0-2 out the gate already. And, you know, it's a mantra around the NFL, speed kills. I think there's a lot of speed still on that field for Atlanta to get the job done. And Matty Ice to prove himself on a big stage in New York. I'm going with the Falcons, a.k.a. the Dirty Birds.
All right, next game is the St. Louis Rams going to Washington to play the Redskins. I get the first pick on this one. As far as injuries are concerned, nobody major from St. Louis. Todd Gurley still questionable. Trey Mason also questionable, but both participated fully in practice on Friday. For Washington, DeSean Jackson's out. D'Angelo Hall is probable, if that means anything to you. Jordan Reed is questionable, limited participation in practice on Friday. Same thing with Travis Knighton. With a rib injury, questionable limited participation in practice on Friday. Jackson Jeffcoat, also questionable with limited participation in practice on Friday. And luckily for me, I get probably the easiest game of the week. Seattle's going to murder them. I don't see one matchup that you can point to in this game and say, hey, you know what? Washington can exploit this. Because without DeSean Jackson, the wide receiving core is a little lackluster, and they don't. And you know, Kirk Cousins is a lower tier starting quarterback in the NFL. Let's be completely honest. You know, maybe an upper tier backup. That's what he is, and he's nothing else. But right now, Washington is kind of stuck with him. So that's going to hold back the passing game. With that defensive front that the St. Louis Rams are touting right now, I don't see the run game being overly effective either. And when you can't score, you can't win. The only thing that the Rams have to not do is throw a bunch of interceptions or put the ball on the mat. And they win the game. And I know it sounds, they can get away with one or two turnovers as long as they're not too deep in the territory. But other than that, it shouldn't be that big of a deal for them. I'm going with St. Louis in a landslide. I wouldn't be too surprised if it was three touchdowns or more. Ty, you're next.
Whoa, Sports City, whoa. This is the guy that was just praising Kirk Cousins last week, people. I wish Nacho was here right now to hear how this dude is going against Kirk Cousins right now. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, I didn't interrupt you. Don't do it to me. Please don't. I'm going to just do what I need to do. Now, the fact of the matter is, I agree with you. I'm going to go with St. Louis on the road to get the job done. However, here's an interesting situation. Now, I'm looking at St. Louis's defense get stronger and stronger as the season's going on, after that first game, and they're playing a lesser of an offense, let me be real, because they played an interesting offense in Seattle. I don't really feel like Seattle put it together as best as they could in week one, but I think that they get a week off right now going up against Kirk Cousins and the Redskins offense without DeSean Jackson. And I think that the St. Louis Rams get to pin their ears back and come after a running back that I like and respect in Alfred Morris. They know they're going to force the run as best as possible. They're going to try and force, Cousins to throw the ball as best as he can so they can try and turn him over. I think he'll have a tough time against that secondary. I think the Rams make this interesting. I don't know about a 3-touchdown blowout in FedEx, but I think they could probably win this convincingly, say 2 touchdowns. 10 points or better. I'll do 10 points or better. But I don't think the Redskins make this a game. I think they were fortunate to keep it an interesting run up against Miami. But right now, with St. Louis clicking and feeling good about themselves, I think this is an uphill battle for the Redskins.
All right, Chandler, you're next.
Well, I'm shocked as well to hear all that negative commentary about Kirk Cousins. This is going to be a beatdown of the highest order. As a matter of fact, since Robert Griffin has been cleared, I say this week that Robert Griffin winds up playing in this game by the middle of the third quarter because Kirk Cousins is so bad he's thrown like 3 or 4 interceptions, and that is the precursor to Jay Gruden. I'm living off my brother's name, Gruden, getting fired, because you keep blaming Robert Griffin when every quarterback you put in there looks like crap. So this is just going to be a beatdown. I mean, a pure, unadulterated beatdown.
And I want to clarify a little something here. I never said that Kirk Cousins was great. I said he outplayed his draft position, which he did. He's a starter. How many starting quarterbacks do you get fourth round or later? You get Tom Brady, you get Tony Romo, and to my knowledge, and Tyrod Taylor. And that's about it. I mean, so he has definitely outplayed his position, and I would say most, if not all, Michigan State quarterbacks end up doing so. I guess the exception is probably, I don't know if, in the, you know, yeah, Drew Stanton. He was a second-round pick and, you know, played like it. It hasn't been his fault that he's been, you know, sitting behind he's currently behind Carson Palmer, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, other than that, I mean, Hoyer definitely outplayed his fifth-round stock just by still being in the league this long. And, you know, that's what I said about Kirk Cousins. I never said he was good.
You said he's better than RG3. He's not better than RG3. You even just called him mediocre right now. You said he's mediocre. Did you hear what Chandler just said? Hold on. Let me respond to you. Did you hear what Chandler just said about Gruden trying to look good for the camera, for the media, for the people? This isn't about Cousins looking better than RG3 because he looked worse. And watch around week three, week four is going to look bad, even worse, for Cousins. They're going to put RG3 in there. And just like it's been mentioned throughout the kitchen, by Mr. Knight himself, is going to.
I missed that last thing you said, Ty. Did you break out?
I said it's going to be by week 3 or week 4, it's going to be too late by the time they put RG3 in the game.
But you say, okay, let's just say in the parallel universe where Jay Gruden really likes RG3, do you think the change to RG3 makes a difference?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Ty.
I say right now, yes. I mean, it's better to do it now than Cousins having so many ample opportunities to do it up against the Dolphins last week and couldn't amount to more than, 10 points the other week. And now it's a situation where he's going up against a stronger defense, to be honest to me, at least how I feel. I feel like the Rams defense is stronger than the Dolphins defense, even though the Dolphins have an interest in front. I don't think he's going to do better now. I want a quarterback to be able to get away from that front. The way that Donald and Long and them are dominating the line of scrimmage is not going to be good for a quarterback that has a statue or has cement feet. It's not going to be good. So you'll end up seeing what's going to end up happening. But, Chandler, go ahead.
Well, no matter what quarterback Gruden goes to, they're going to look bad because Gruden refuses to alter his scheme to fit his quarterback. All it's really going to do is expose Gruden, and that's really all I want to happen. I need Gruden to be exposed for the fraud that he is because he kept saying RG3 was the problem. Apparently not. Now, if he goes back to RG3 yet again, this will be two seasons in a row where he keeps swapping quarterbacks. The only common denominator, well, and they keep losing, the only thing, only constant is Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden is the problem. So are they going to look better with RG3? No. Will they score some more points? Yeah. Will they still lose game? Absolutely. Because he refuses to acknowledge the fact that he's not an offensive genius. He's not the second coming of Bill Walsh. He's not even the 25th coming of Bill Walsh. He's a moron.
Did we lose James there? Is everything okay?
I think we shocked him into dropping the mic.
I think so. James, are you still available?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Okay, we got you now.
All right. But there is one thing that isn't a constant. Jay Gruden isn't a constant because the same thing happened with Shanahan. Shanahan had this whole juggle between Kirk Cousins and RG3. I don't think it's a coincidence that two different head coaches are having the same struggles at the quarterback position. There has to be something else going on. Because, I mean, those who do not learn from history are bound to repeat it. I guess that holds true for Jay Gruden. But at the end of the day, it's not a problem that is specific to him.
Actually, it is.
Because the guy before him had the exact same problem and then got fired.
No, he didn't. Shanahan had one season where he tailored his offense to fit Robert Griffin, and they were successful. And then somebody decided, we're going to make him a pocket passer. He's not a pocket passer. He's not a pocket passer. The only reason that Shanahan went to Cousins was because RG3 got hurt. Jay Gruden has actually benched RG3, so there is a difference. There is a difference. RG3 was benched under Gruden. He was not benched under Shanahan. He was injured, so Cousins got to play. There's the difference. Oh, and by the way, does Mike Shanahan have a job in the NFL right now?
No, he does not.
Okay. So apparently it's not all Robert Griffin.
Oh, I'm not saying it is all Robert Griffin. I'm just saying that there seems to be a small trend going on, that's all. But I do
what,
want
to What's the trend?
To
wait, wait, what's the trend? What is the trend?
The trend is that Robert Griffin finds himself off the field. And it happens consistently. And you know what? They saw the Kirk Cousins experiment fail once before. So why are they going back to it? Is this just Jay Gruden's massive ego? I can't imagine that being true. I can't imagine somebody's ego being so big that they say, hey, this guy gives me a better chance to win, so I'm going to not play him. That's my disconnect with this conversation, is that I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is better. I think maybe he just fits better. This is something that, Chandler, you were saying a while back when we were talking about Russell Wilson, that it's not that, it's Russell Wilson is perfect for the scheme. It's something that I believe you had said. And I'm not saying that Kirk Cousins is perfect for the scheme, but he might be better for the scheme.
he may be, but he still has looked bad. And the whole thing about Robert Griffin being off the field, well, guess what? If you make someone a pocket passer who doesn't want to be a pocket passer, they're going to take more hits. Let's add in the fact that they have yet to get an offensive line in Washington. Have we forgotten the fact that even with Shanahan, that offensive line was terrible? It was terrible. Because guess what? The offensive line isn't built to pass block. They're not built for it. They're built for run blocking, not pass blocking. They're built for run blocking, yet you're trying to – remember the old Atlanta Falcons teams that could not run block to save their life, but they could pass that ball up and down the field? Remember them? And every time they tried to run, they couldn't. Guess what you have in Washington? You have an offensive line that cannot pass block, but they can run block with the best of them. But you have had two head coaches whose egos are that massive. Remember, Mike Shanahan won two Super Bowls. Mike Shanahan won two Super Bowls. The fact that he had John Elway and Terrell Davis, everybody seems to kind of conveniently leave that part out. Because he didn't want a doggone thing without them and hasn't won anything since them. Okay? But you have two head coaches whose egos are so massive. And let's not forget that Jay Gruden is living off of his last name. Much like Rob Ryan is trying to prove he's a good defense coordinator, Jay Gruden is trying to prove that he can live up to the Gruden name. Both of them are frauds. Because if Jay Gruden really wanted to win and not prove that his system is better, then he would have tailored his system to fit the quarterback with more talent. Yet he refused to do that. Yet when in all the interviews when he first got the job, what did he say? We're going to tailor the offense around Robert Griffin. Well, he lied right to our faces, so how can you not believe his ego was that massive?
I'll
give you the last word, Ty.
I'm going to do this quickly. And the reason why RG3 initially was off the field and Kirk Cousins was playing, RG3 was injured. Let's be real. When RG3 was not hurt and balling, they got to the playoffs with that system with Shanahan. And he hurt himself, knee injury. And it lingered into the following season. They had to watch this dude try to go out there and ball differently. And like Chandler said, trying to keep him in the pocket also. He's trying to learn something different on the fly. And Kirk Cousins isn't successful at it either. Let's be real. If he was in a situation where he was able to be mobile, he made the Redskins a playoff team. How? That's my disconnect with where you're coming from.
But after that major ankle or knee injury, whatever he had when he was in the playoffs, when he was out there, I'd have to assume beyond doctor's orders, because I can't see any doctor looking at him attempting to hobble around and giving that the thumbs up. But I wasn't on that sideline. I can only speculate on that. Ever since then, he hasn't been the same guy. And we can't talk about what he was then. We have to talk about what he is now. Is he that same guy that was running around all over the place and being that electric playmaker, or has that injury taken a bigger toll than we imagined? That's a question that I pose to you, Ty. And I do promise one more time around, and that will be the last word.
No. I mean, we're just going to agree to disagree. At the end of the day, the system was a read option run offense first. They were more run heavy than being a balanced attack. Now you got him trying to find options with, just like Chandler said, the offensive line is not blocking for him, and let alone his options outside are limited. His tight ends continually get hurt. His tight ends are hurt now. DeSean Jackson is hurt now. And let alone the situation Kirk Cousins overthrew DeSean Jackson. How do you overthrow him? DeSean Jackson is wide open. That's not happening with RG3. Like I said, we're going to agree to disagree. I really feel like this is going to only get worse as they spiral into the division, because next week they end up playing the Giants, and the Giants are going to be trying to thrive to get a win. Like I said, I feel the Falcons should win this game. If the Falcons do end up winning this game, the Giants are going to be off a murderous row up against the Redskins. So this is going to get ugly before it gets better.
All right, Chandler, anything else to add?
No, I'm good.
All right, next game is the Chicago Bears going up against the Arizona Cardinals. I believe Ty gets first crack at this one. Injury report, Andre Ellington is out, and so is Mike Iupati. For the Cardinals, Deion Buchanan is also limited participation in practice on Friday and is listed as questionable. For the Bears, John Bostic is out. Tracy Porter also out. Ego Ferguson, Alshon Jeffrey, and Pernell McPhee are all listed as questionable. None of them participated in practice on Friday. Ty, you're up first. What do you think?
I don't need injury reports. I don't need questionability. I don't need none of that. I am going with the Cardinals. From what I've seen right now, especially the way that the Bears have come out the gate, Cutler has to prove to me that he cares, and it won't change. Cutler doesn't, you know, slap his leg or hit himself on the helmet, no nothing. Anything happens, if they have a three and out, it's still the same body language. And the Cardinals are out this proof that they could win that NFC West. And this is a game that's going to keep them afloat to try and win the West. It, you know, go out there and take care of business up against the Chicago Bears team. So, like I said, I don't need any of that. It's in Chicago, no less. Arizona's going to have to prove that they can win on the road, and this is the game to do it. I'm going with the Cardinals.
Chandler, your thoughts?
This is the game where Jay Cutler gets benched. Jay Cutler threw three interceptions in the first half, and he gets benched, and we begin the Jimmy Clausen era. It just is what it is. John Fox is not going to put up with Jay Cutler too much longer. So, to me, this is Arizona's game. Cutler, like I said, three interceptions first half, benched in the second half.
All right. I'm also going with Arizona. Clean sweep for this one. I think that it might even be bigger blowout than what we see in St. Louis versus Washington. I think it's that bad for the Chicago Bears. I mean, first of all, there's talk of Alshon Jeffrey not playing. Yeah, they still have Matt Forte, but they have nothing else on that offense to be scared of if Alshon Jeffrey's not on the field. Point blank. And they're
I think Martellus Bennett is something they need to be concerned about. Martellus Bennett is a force in the middle of the field. So, and that's a safety blanket. Cutler is going to go there. So they have to worry about a 6'5", 6'6" target.
Fair enough. I'll give you that. No argument here. But that still requires Jay Cutler to throw to him, though. That's all I'm saying. Big time Arizona Cardinals. It's not even going to be close. Next game, Lions going to Minnesota to play the Vikings. DeAndre Levy is out for the game. Brandon Pettigrew is out. Haloti Ngata is questionable with a shoulder injury, and Caron Reed also questionable with an ankle injury. Golden Tate upgraded to probable for those who have been interested in that situation going forward. As far as the Vikings, no major injuries to report. Let's see. I guess I'll go ahead and take this one first. I'm going with Detroit. I mean, it might be a slight homer thing with me, but I think with Golden Tate full and effective, yes, they're going up against a really tough set of corners there in Minnesota, and a pretty decent defense. But I think that Detroit can't go 0-2 into this hole and expect themselves to be a playoff team. And that's going to weigh on the minds of everybody there. And you know what? That's why I'm going to go with Detroit. Chandler, you're next on this one. What do you think?
What you have is in Minnesota, and, you know, I hate to keep patting myself on the back, but somebody said the Niners would win their first game against Minnesota. I remember saying that. But anyway, you
people listen to me, you guys could actually make some money gambling, for those of you who gamble. You have a young team in Minnesota with a coach who's never won and players who've never won who've been reading their press clippings. And in order for Minnesota to get on track, they're going to need to get punched in the face again. You also have a team that is trying to show Adrian Peterson his place, which is why he only touched the ball 4 times in the first half last game, 10 times total for the game. And it's going to be the same thing this week. They're not going to give Adrian the ball. They're trying to show him that we don't need you, Adrian, and how dare you sit out. So I'm going with the Lions in this one. I don't think it's going to be a pretty game. It's not like the Lions are going to look dominant, but the Vikings are going to do enough to lose the game.
All right. Ty, 2-0 in favor of the Lions. What do you think?
It is a very interesting situation. Everybody's going with Detroit, and I'm majorly concerned about DeAndre Levy because they're saying that it could be more than just a injury. But I'm waiting to hear more about this, and Caldwell's not trying to answer too many questions about that either. Detroit up front, especially with the questionability with Haloti Ngata, is big for me because this is where all of the questions lie with myself personally. With them and Sue, but I understand that they couldn't sign Sue for quarterback money. I mean, he wanted over $100-some-odd million. He ended up getting it, and Detroit had to make what they, you know, had to deal with what they were handed. They were dealt at the end of the day. So, as much as I want to try to shock value it and go with Minnesota, I can't because I really want to see Stafford get this thing going. But I want to see consistency out of Stafford and Lombardi with this play calling that they're dealing with. These guys should be able to run an interesting offense, and to say the least, we didn't see a great output of the Vikings defense when they went up against San Francisco. So a questionable San Francisco team able to dominate a Vikings team all game long. I'm going to go with Detroit, but just like Chandler said, I don't think that this is going to get out of hand. I think this is going to be interesting all game long. I think Adrian will get a 100-yard day. Because we couldn't slow down Melvin Gordon. So I think this is going to be tough to try and stop a guy that's been away from football for an entire season. So I'm going to go Detroit, but I think this will be a pretty well-fought battle in Minnesota.
All right, we've got ourselves another in-division game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to New Orleans to play the Saints. Abreu Franklin and Major Wright are both out for the Buccaneers. Bruce Carter questionable with full participation in practice on Friday. Mike Evans is listed as questionable with a hamstring injury, limited participation in practice on Friday. And the same is true with Mike Jenkins, their cornerback. As far as the Saints are concerned, Darius Byrd is out, Darnell Ellerby is out, and Keenan Lewis is out. C.J. Spiller is questionable with a knee injury, limited participation in practice on Friday. Chandler, you got first dibs on this one.
Well, when is Jarius Byrd not out? I mean, how is he even still in? Why are people still signing him to contracts so that he can sit at home and collect checks on injured reserve? I was just trying to figure that one out. It's like the third team is like, hey, let's just pay Jarius to sit at home. This is a weird game. Because I think Lovie Smith should be fired. Tampa has an offensive line. You have a rookie quarterback, and you have a coach who is so, again, whose ego is so massive that he refuses to acknowledge the fact that his team can't play cover two because he doesn't have the players for it. He's running a system he doesn't have the players for. And Gerald McCoy, hey, man, anytime you want to actually show up to a football game, you know, Tampa Bay fans would probably appreciate that, you know. Anytime you want to show up, bud. I know you're getting a lot of money, you know, you're doing a lot of things, but anytime you actually want to show up on the field, man, you know, they might actually could use you. I got to go with the Saints in this one, and normally I would go with Tampa, but Tampa's just terrible. They're bad everywhere but at quarterback, and the quarterback's a rookie, so I'm going with the Saints.
All right. I'm also going with the Saints. The Saints are at home. The Saints. And Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay. And I think Chandler hit the nail on the head. There's too many problems in Tampa Bay to be just fixed by one rookie quarterback. And that's the entirety of it. I'm going with New Orleans as well. Ty?
Your thoughts?
I'm actually going against the grain with you two. I'm going with Tampa Bay to get it done. I need it for fantasy purposes for Doug Martin to get started. I'm going to have him start and up against a defense that's extremely questionable to me. And if Evans plays, I mean, there's more options out there on the field for Jameis to get this done. And just like Chandler said, if it's McCoy in that front seven wakes up him, Levante David, this is a different ball game. I feel like they could be effective in getting after Drew Brees. Drew Brees had an interesting output up against the Cardinals, and I don't feel like too much is going to change. I'm going with Tampa Bay up against New Orleans.
All right, Ty going against the grain on this one. Next game on the docket is the 49ers going to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. Injury report says that Reggie Bush is out for this game. Bruce Ellington is questionable, did not participate in practice on Friday. As far as the Pittsburgh Steelers are concerned, no major injuries. Cortez Allen is questionable, limited participation in practice on Friday. And also a note, Le'Veon Bell still suspended. So keep that in mind as well. Ty, I think you're first on this one. How do you think this game?
I want to make serious, man. I'm going with San Francisco. I know him and Brian will be going at it as much as possible. Here's why. I feel like San Francisco still has a chip on their shoulder with everybody leaving, departing. And the way the Pittsburgh defense has looked is questionable. I know that they'll have their hands full dealing with Ben and Antonio as much as possible. But another week without Le'Veon Bell, I think this is going to be a questionable output for D'Angelo, to say the least. Not to say another, because he actually had a good output last week. But I think this is where they try to bottle him up as much as possible. And I feel like this is going to be all off the shoulder off of Ben. And this is a game where Kaepernick could actually make a name for himself while everything is going against him. I'm going with San Francisco. Start out 2-0. Going with San Francisco.
All right, Chandler, your thoughts.
Ty, you know doggone well that San Francisco ain't winning this game. I told you they're going to win the first game, and that's pretty much it. Jim Thomasula looks like a high school coach out there, man. Come on, son. No, this is Pittsburgh all the way. Frisco, they won their game. It was a home opener, and they did all those things with the black jersey. But, listen, they just don't have the talent. They don't have the talent. They don't have the talent to compete with Pittsburgh. And if Carlos Hyde thinks he's going to run like he did last game, you say what you want about Pittsburgh's defense. But one thing Mike Tomlin's going to do, trust me, they will not have those miscommunication problems this game. I'm going with Pittsburgh all the way.
Yeah, I'm with Chandler again. Pittsburgh all the way. And very succinctly, San Francisco doesn't have the talent. It is just that simple. They shocked me, to be honest, week one, but I don't see them doing it again. Steelers all the way. Next game on the docket is the Baltimore Ravens going to Oakland to play the Raiders. Eugene Monroe is out for the Baltimore Ravens, as well as Rashard Perriman. Darren Walker is questionable with limited participation in practice on Friday. As far as the Raiders are concerned, no major injuries that I can see. Charles Woodson questionable, if you want to throw that out there. I'm not sure if you do, but that's what we're looking at for this game. Chandler, I believe you are up first on this one. What do you think?
I think Jack Del Rio is a terrible head coach. I think he's destroying their franchise, and I'm going with the Ravens. Even though the Ravens, really, their defense, they have one wide receiver who retired, and is, I don't even know why he's playing, because he's already retired. If anyone like watched him last game, he's mentally done. Steve Smith is mentally done. He should not be on the field. He's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt because mentally he is already retired. And even with all that being said, if you look at what the Raiders did, what happened to them last week, we all looked at the Raiders last season and said, this is a team on a come up. Okay? They got the quarterback. They have a defense. You know, they have pieces. They have really good pieces. Those pieces looked pretty decent last year.
how they looked that bad speaks to only one thing changed, and that's the coaching. So I'm going with the Ravens because Jack Del Rio should be fired hopefully by midseason.
All right. For me, I'm going the exact same direction. I'm also going with the Ravens. I don't think it's as doom and gloom, and I do believe that the loss of Monroe can be something significant to look at, especially if they stack his side with that aforementioned top-flight defensive talent. If they can get those pass rushers on that side, it could start to become problems, at least in my opinion. I don't think this is going to be as big of a blowout as people might expect when you're talking about a storied good team against a storied bad team. I think people are going to push this curve in the wrong direction, but I still am going to go with the Ravens to win the game. Ty, your thoughts?
As much as I want to go against the grain against y'all again, the Raiders look questionable against Cincinnati. Cincinnati went in and stormed on them. And the reason why I'm mad at the Raiders is, and it was something that they really pointed out, you know, and made it, you know, a pinpoint situation. You got your rookie star receiver in there, and Pac-Man takes his helmet off and bashes his head up against the helmet, and none of y'all came to aid him. That goes to show you what's going on in Oakland. That goes to show you what's happening with the Raiders. I am going with the Ravens. As much as I want to see Flacco get something started outside of Steve Smith, I question how that's going to look, but I still have the Ravens getting the job done up against the Raiders team that just is lost. I mean, if the Raiders get it done, I'll be shocked, but I feel the safe bet is to go with Baltimore.
All right, next game on the dock is the Dolphins going to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. I get first bidding on this one. Deion Sims is out for the Miami Dolphins. As far as Jacksonville is concerned, Jonathan Cyprian, Toby Gerhart are both doubtful. Cedric Marks is out for, and Julius Thomas are both out for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that seems to be all I need to. Luke Jokel, questionable. And that's about it. I don't think all that injury report matters. I think this is a win for Miami. Comes back to the same thing that we said about San Francisco and to a lesser extent about Oakland. Jacksonville just doesn't have the talent yet. They might be moving in the right direction. There's a lot of players that you can like on Jacksonville, but at this point, it's not a comparison. I'm going with Miami to win this game. Ty, what do you think?
I did it last week, going with Jacksonville, and they let me down. I'm going to do it this week. Upset. Jacksonville wins at home. Look, Miami got lucky up against the Redskins because of Kirk Cousins. There is talent on Jacksonville. I just don't see why you don't see it. But there is talent there. They still got T.J. Yeldon, a rookie. They also got Allen Hurns. And Mercedes Lewis isn't a bad tight end also. They have talent there. I think they can get it done. They're in the comforts of their own home cooking. I think they can get it done. I'm going with the upset right there. I'm going with Jacksonville.
All right, Chandler, your thoughts?
I think it's going to take to week four before the Dolphins realize that they actually have to play defense. They can't just trot their guys out there and say, hey, look at us. We got Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake, and, you know, we're the best. I think this is a game, again, you have a team that's been reading their own press clippings. I watched them against Washington, and they looked terrible. They looked as though they just expected, well, because we have this defense, you're supposed to lay down. I think Jacksonville wins this game. I really do. And I don't think it's because Jacksonville's the better team. I think it's because we're looking at a team in the Dolphins, again, a team that has never won anything with a coach who's never won anything. And now they have to live up to expectations, and I don't think they know how to do that yet. So I'm going with Jacksonville. But mainly, I think this is going to be more of a thing where the Dolphins lose this game more so than Jacksonville wins it. But Jacksonville's getting the W anyway.
All right.
Next game on the docket is the Dallas Cowboys going to the Illy of Philly to play against the Eagles. Ty, you go first on this one, I think. So how do you feel this one works out?
This is a very tough game to pick for me, man, because Philadelphia had this game within the hand up against Atlanta, and then it slipped out of their hands literally from Jordan Matthews. And Dallas was basically a stop, if you will. If Eli would have fell down in bounds and not thrown the ball off the back of the end zone, they could have, you know, basically put themselves in a position to win that game. So both of these teams had questionable endings to their games. And Philadelphia being at home, I think it actually it suited well for them to win this game, especially without Dez. I'm going with the questionable Kelly, if you will, and the Birds out there in Philadelphia to get it done up against the Cowboys. At least to shake some things up. But I do find it in a situation where I think Williams has to step up, being Terrence Williams, and Beasley being underneath the Madden. But I want to see how this offense looks without Dez, and it didn't really impress me that much up against the Giants. So I'm actually going with Philly without Dez.
All right. Yeah, I am in the exact same place you are, Ty. No Dez puts and in Philly. I'm taking Philly as well. I think that this Philadelphia team is surprising people. If you were paying attention to the press clippings in the off season, it almost looked like Chip Kelly was coming down with a case of Josh McDaniel syndrome, and I'd said so all off season that this was what was likely going on. But thus far, it's looking okay. And without Dez, that run, and first of all, without DeMarco Murray, that Cowboys running offense has not been the same. They kind of believed the hype of the offensive line a little too much that, you know, regular Joes can just sit behind that offensive line and be productive. It hasn't worked out yet. And now no Dez, I think the offense is going to struggle mightily. And I don't think that defense is prepared yet. When they're ahead and everything's working out, that defense is serviceable, but that's it, you know? That's entirely it. Without that early lead, without that offense backing them up, that defense has been a struggle too. I'm going Philly. Chandler, your thoughts?
I'm sorry, how many games have been played this season?
What?
One. Yet you're speaking like there's some body of work to look at with the Cowboys. Joseph Randle had 107 combined yards. Joseph Randle is not a guy that you're going to pound into the line 25 times a game. You're going to run him about 15, maybe 20 max times. You're also going to throw him the ball about 10 times. But he's going to get you 100 yards. So guess what? Those are long handoffs on those little bubble screens and pitches and tosses. So, again, this narrative that the Cowboys' running game is terrible without DeMarco Murray is just that, a narrative, and it's not even true, along with the fact that we've only seen them play one game. One game. And we're talking like there's a track record. But whatever. I'm going with the Cowboys, and I'm going to say it right now. DeMarco Murray will not have more rushing yards. Matter of fact, DeMarco Murray will not have more than 50 rushing yards in this game, if he even gets that. And he's putting the ball on the ground twice.
All right. Next game, and Chandler, you get to go first on this one. It's one of the two Monday night games. The Seattle Seahawks are going to Green Bay to play the Packers. Seahawks upset week one against the Rams. As far as injury reports concerned, Bruce Irving's questionable, and I don't think there's any other starters that are to be mentioned at the moment. For Green Bay, Brian Bulaga is out. Morgan Burnett is questionable with limited participation in practice on Friday. Chandler, you get to go first on this. What is your thoughts?
I'll make it easy. No Cam Chancellor, no win. Seahawks 0-2.
All right. Ty, what are your thoughts on this?
This is an interesting game. Yeah, Green Bay. I'm going to go with Green Bay at home to get their redemption back. Everything that fell apart and everybody blaming it on the backup, tight end, so on and so forth. I think Aaron Rodgers gets this thing going and off to a 2-0 start, man. As much as I don't want to do it, I'm going with Green Bay.
I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I'm going to be the black sheep in this one. I'm going to go with Seattle. It just, I mean, every single time we think, oh, this is going to be the time when Green Bay finally gets revenge for Fail Mary and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That narrative gets played over and over again, and, you know, it hasn't happened yet. And, I mean, eventually I'm sure it will, but right now Seattle seems to be doing the job against Green Bay. So until that changes, I'm going to go with them. I'm going with Seattle to take this game. Final game of the week. New York Jets going to Indianapolis to play the Colts. Chandler, I'll give you first dibs on this one. Being a Jets fan, how do you feel this one works out?
This is a game the Jets should win. Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to throw 3 interceptions. He's going to look terrible, but the Jets defense is going to pull it out for him. So I got the Jets winning by a field goal.
All right. I'm just going to skip the injury report. Why not? Robert Mathis is questionable. That is something that I think needs to be placed out there. Limited participation practice on Friday. T.Y. Hilton also, I believe, questionable. If I'm reading that correctly. As far as the Jets are concerned, Geno Smith out for the game with the jaw injury again. Other than that, nobody, or Antonio Cromartie, questionable, limited participation practice on Friday. Same with Chris Ivory, questionable. And Jaquan Jarrett is actually listed as probable, so that one doesn't matter. For me, can Indy start out the season 0-2? I'm going to say no. I'm going to go with them in a game that this is another game I think is going to be a lot closer than people might think. I think that this is going to come down to a one-score game. I think it's going to come down to a last-minute drive, the Indy offense versus the Jets defense. And at the end of the day, it's going to come down to a long Adam Vinatieri field goal that's going to go through. Colts win by 2. What do you think, Ty?
This is a very hard game to call because, again, the Colts run into an interesting defense. And been just running to an offense that wants to get things started, and it's on Monday night. I'm for fantasy purposes, I picked up Andrew Luck. I gotta go with Luck as much as I don't want to go against Chandler like that. But just for fantasy, I need Luck to light this scoreboard up. So I'm gonna go with the Colts.
Fair enough. We do have about a half hour left to the show, so there's time for a couple more questions, I guess. And I'm going to start with this. You've been talking a lot of fantasy, Ty. You've been talking it up a bit. Who is going to be the surprise man in fantasy this week?
I mean, for which game?
Just pick a guy for the week, any game.
You know what? If you pick anybody quickly, I am going to go with Sam Bradford. I'll do that. I think Sam Bradford will have an effective day up against Dallas in a divisional battle. I think Romo will get things started too, but I think Sam Bradford might be the one of the unsung hero quarterbacks that a lot of people are overlooking to get things done up against Dallas, and especially with Jordan Matthews having a chip on his shoulder as well from dropping that pass, a critical pass that ended up being the game decider and an interception. I think Sam Bradford has a game where he throws for over 320. I'll give him over 320 yards passing.
All right, Chandler, you got anybody who, you know, might just perform a little bit better than some might think?
Well, last week I gave Ty Bilal Powell, and he didn't want it. You know what? I'm gonna go with the Saints defense. Saints defense is going to get somebody a ton of points this weekend.
Fair enough. I'm going to go with something a little bit further outside the back box. I'm going to say Chris Ivory. I think Chris Ivory has a very good matchup against Colts. The Colts defensively is not great. I think that he's got a decent offensive line blocking for him. Not a great one, not a spectacular one, but one that can get things done. The Jets are going to also probably come in with a game plan to limit the amount of touches that Andrew Luck has. I think that's entirely possible that they're going to be feeding Chris Ivory as much as humanly possible, as long as, you know, as long as the injury holds up. They'll be feeding a lot of runs, going to give him a lot of touches, keep Andrew Luck on the sideline. That's the play, and let the defense do what it has to do, make this a grind-out, slow game. I think that's what is going to happen, because I don't think there is that much faith in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Don't get me wrong, he's their guy for now, while Geno's out. But to that point, the running game is going to be the monster in this. So Chris Ivory just might be a start for you this week. Chandler, you're the resident Jets fan. Does that sound logical to you?
Well, I mean, Ivory did well in fantasy last week, so I think anybody who had him last week knows what they're going to get. I mean, you know, he had a touchdown last week. He had, I think, over 90-some-odd yards, so I don't really think that's too much of a stretch to say that Ivory's going to give you some points in fantasy.
All right. Fair enough. I guess we have to go in the opposite direction, and I'll go ahead and start with this one. A guy who's generally a starter in fantasy football leagues that's probably not going to, light up the scoreboard this week, and I think it's Tony Romo. I think Romo is a bench for this week. I'm not saying that the Eagles' defense is spectacular, but you're missing your top target. Jason Witten's not what he used to be, and you don't have the benefit of that the running game that, you know, I guess what Chandler said might be true, but it's still not scaring anybody. So the amount of, don't get me wrong, he's still got targets. He'll still score a little bit, but if you've got a reasonable backup for the game this week, I would probably sit Tony Romo. Chandler, your thoughts? Who is a guy who, you know, normally does well in things and will probably drop the ball this week?
Well, you forget that I like Terrence Williams, so I don't really see too much of a drop-off in Romo's stats. I think the guy that people need to stay away from is Carson Palmer, personally. I think anybody that's looking at Carson Palmer, you need to put him down and stay away from him until at least week six.
Really? I mean, he had a decent game last week as well. I mean, not too bad anyway. But he also might have a bit of a tougher matchup this week as well. Ty, fantasy dud this week?
Thomas Edward Brady.
Is it just a matchup, or do you think that week one was a fluke?
I think you sit him, and the reason being is because they're playing the Buffalo defense. Their secondary is legit. The only question mark I think they'll have is trying to slow down Gronk. If they are able to contain Gronk, I think that Brady will have his hands full. And like I said, I think they'll be successful up against New England. I think you sit Tom Brady and go with your backup.
All right. That's all I've got for the show this week. Ty, you got anything to throw into the kettle, or should we just close it down a little early?
You can shut it down early. I got to save a lot of it for tomorrow.
All right. Come back next week. We'll be talking about week three games and some other stuff. Chandler, give us a final shout before we close down the kitchen for another week.
Yankees beat the Mets. Everybody have a good day. Wait. And hockey season has started. So the real sport is here, people.
All right, Ty, give us a final shot before we close down the kitchen for another week.
SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interview, the blog, the chefs. We'll be back at it tomorrow, Sunday, bunching things up. A lot of interesting stuff. I got a big night tonight. I should be meeting up with a celebrity tonight, so this is pretty big for me this evening. Sports City, stay tuned. Everything we got, whether you're on Twitter, Facebook, checking things out. Also over there in Wales and England, Rodri, I see you. We got big things on the horizon with Sports City over there, especially at both of the games in London. Also, we will be there. So Sports City, we got a lot of stuff going on. Thank God we're back into the football season. Well, just the bird month in general, man. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Later.